I haven't heard much about lately. In fact, I haven't addressed this subject myself for a long, long time. And when I started doing a little bit of research for the sermon today, I was really surprised at how much there is in the Bible about giving gifts and alms. So this morning, I'm going to concentrate on gifts between individuals, not so much the gifts to God or the gifts from God, and that's a whole different subject, and we could spend an hour or two on that alone. But I'm going to concentrate primarily on gifts between individuals. And I've got some points in this sermon. I got about 7 points. My wife will like that. She likes to number the different topics. I guess it's a little bit easier to keep it organized that way. But number one is a question. When is it harmful to give gifts? You ever think about that? Could giving a gift be harmful? And, of course, the answer is yes. Yes. And this first point is divided into two parts, point A and point B. Point A, when it's given for the purpose of gaining recognition or fame. You know, if we give a gift for the purpose of exalting ourselves, it could be harmful. It can be harmful to us and even to the person that we give the gift to because it would influence them in a wrong way. That's not one of the reasons that we should give a gift to someone. If you turn to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. They get what they're after. You know, they get recognition. And that's all they get. In fact, it hinders their growth and their relationship with God when they do that. Because God says that we're not to exalt our own selves. You know, that those who try to exalt themselves will, in the end, be abased. We'll go on with verse 3. It says, when you do alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand does, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father, which sees in secret, shall reward you openly. So that's clear instructions. You know, we should give gifts, but we should do it in secret, not to get glory for ourselves, not to get recognition, but to truly help someone who is less fortunate than we are. And we'll get into that a little bit later. And I'm going to read several different verses, one verse in the play. So if you don't want to turn there, maybe we can save a little time, just write it down. Proverbs 15, verse 27. It says, he that is greedy of gain troubles his own house, but he that hates gifts shall live. Proverbs 29, verse 4. The king by judgment establisheth the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth, saying very plainly that those in charge, you know, if they receive and welcome gifts, it corrupts their thinking. And they will end up destroying not only themselves, but their whole jurisdiction, their land, the area that they rule over. In Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 7, surely oppression maketh a wise man mad. A gift destroys the heart. And then back to Proverbs again, Proverbs 25. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. That's even worse than giving the gift. This is dealing with someone who pretends to be a gift giver when he's really not. He's bragging about it, in other words. But it's like clouds and wind without rain. You know, you think you got a storm coming, but your garden doesn't get watered. It doesn't do anything good at all. And part B of this first point, then, part B, another area where a gift could actually be harmful. When it is given or received to influence judgment. You know, literally getting into a bribe. Recently, in an interview, Donald Trump acknowledged the fact that he has given gifts to practically all of the politicians, both Democrats and Republicans. And he just acknowledged up front that he needed access. He needed to be able to influence the lawmakers so that they would make the laws in his favor so that he could earn money. You know, he was just upfront and honest about it. At least I'll give him credit for that. Most politicians won't admit that. But it goes on all the time with everyone. In Exodus 23, verse 8, it says, "You shall take no gift, for the gift blinds the wise and perverts the words of the righteous." Of course, that's talking about giving a gift, you know, for the wrong reason again. But it blinds the wise. You may think, well, you know, I give a lot, I'm doing good. And that can be questionable. Maybe it is doing good, but maybe not so good, depending on your attitude in giving it and also who you give it to. In Deuteronomy 16, in verse 19, "You shall not wrest judgment. You shall not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift does blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous." Almost the same thing again. Almost the same thing we just read in Exodus. Proverbs 17, verse 23. "A wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment." You know, again, that's what Donald Trump was doing when he gave gifts to the politicians. He was trying to pervert their judgment and gain advantage for himself. Don't mean to be picking on Donald Trump particularly. You know, at least he was honest. Now, point number two, I want to give us some bad examples of offering a gift. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 23, "The princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither does the cause of the widow come unto them." In other words, practically everything they do is so that they can gain advantage. so that they can increase their own wealth, irregardless of what happens to the widow and the poor people. So, again, you know, we can give gifts and sometimes get the idea that we're doing a good thing when in reality we're not at all. We're only trying to get advantage for our own self, and God doesn't approve of that at all. Here's one of the worst examples that I could come up with of giving a gift. And it's in Acts chapter 8, verse 18. We'll read 18 through 20. Acts chapter 8, verse 18. This is talking about Simon Magus. I'm sure we all know the story. It said, and when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, and he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said unto him, your money perish with you, because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. So we shouldn't even approach God in that way, thinking that we can buy his favor by giving to him. You know, when it comes to tithes, we're not really giving to God. God owns us. He made us. He made the universe. We're just giving back what is really his anyway. And he's not impressed with our riches, which amount to nothing in comparison to what he owns and what he rules. He's not impressed at all. So we cannot buy favor with God. There's, you know, we are to pay tithes. I'm not, you know, not criticizing that. We're commanded to pay tithes. And also, we're commanded to give offerings. But the offerings that we give, he leaves it to us. That we can give, you know, we can choose how much we give. He doesn't say, you shall give, you know, $10 every holy day or anything like that. We have to give something if we obey God. But we decide what we give in that case. Now, I'm going to go through some good examples. Some good examples. Part three here. Part two is the bad examples. In Acts 10... we'll start with verse 1, Acts 10 and verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Now, we know the story here. In verse 2, he was a devout man. He gave much alms. And he saw in a vision, verse 3, an angel of God coming into him. In verse 4, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now, it doesn't exactly say who his gifts or alms were going to. Maybe it was a contribution to God's work. Maybe it was just for the poor people in his area. We're not told exactly, but I would assume that it was probably alms given to people who were destitute, who really needed it, because that's the kind of gift that God really acknowledges. That's the kind of gift that he appreciates. When you give for the purpose of helping someone else rather than just exalting yourself, you know, we can be sure that Cornelius didn't give a gift to God's work and blow the trumpet before him and let everybody know, you know, look at me, I'm donating, I'm giving. He didn't do that for sure. If he had, God would not have even recognized it. In verse 30, then, the same chapter, Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting. Here he's talking, he's telling Peter what happened to him. He said, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer is heard, and your alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. So we know he was a devout man, he was a praying man, and God honored his efforts to get it right. I'm sure he wasn't a perfect man. I mean, there hasn't been any perfect men on the earth except Jesus himself. But he was doing what he knew to do, and God recognized it. In Luke 21, and he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury. Now, you know where this is going. In verse 2, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in there two mites. And he said, of course, this is Jesus Christ. He said, of a truth I say to you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. You know, as a percentage of what she owned, she gave more than everybody. She gave it all. And God recognized it. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God, but she, with her poverty, has cast in all the living that she had. And God recognized that. So that is one of the best examples that I could come up with of someone who really pleased God because of their gifts, their alms, their giving. Now we'll go to point number 4. Sometimes gifts may be all right, but they need to be delayed for a time. And we'll cover a couple of examples. Matthew 5, verse 23. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you. Maybe you've done him wrong, or maybe you have accidentally said something that upset him, and you know that he's upset with you. Verse 24, leave there your gift before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So that's one of those areas where, it's a good thing to give. And in this case, the gift was being presented to God or for the purpose of furthering God's program, God's work. But there's something you need to do before you offer that gift, because as long as you have something going on with one of your brothers that you're not getting along with, you should settle things with them first, and then come, after that's done, and give your gift. And that way God will accept it. But if you just give the gift and you don't deal with the problem you have with your brother, then God will not accept it. In Mark 7, and verse 10. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whosoever curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is, I have set what I have aside to further God's work, so I can't take care of you, Mom and Dad. Sorry that you're in trouble, but I'm giving to God, and I can't help you. That is to, you know, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift. by whatsoever you might be profited by me, he shall be free. And that was, you know, the Pharisees were teaching that kind of thing. That, okay, you're free because you're giving it to the work of God, and we're in control of the work of God, so don't worry about taking care of your mother and your father, who may be in real need. You know, we forgive you. No, no, that doesn't work with God. Take care of your family first, especially your elderly parents. That comes even before making a big offering to God. You know, you can fulfill the letter of the law when you make an offering to God on a holy day by giving a penny. You know, you have fulfilled the letter of the law. And if you've got $1,000, instead of giving $1,000 in the offering to God, give a smaller amount to God to fulfill the law, but take care of your parents. Take care of your, you know, your close relatives too, your own family, those of your own households. Take care of them. So God says, you're not getting away scot-free because you're giving a big lot to me. In fact, God really doesn't need our money. He wants us to have a right attitude. He wants us to have a giving attitude. But he doesn't want us to neglect our responsibility. You know, God his program is structured to build sound families. That's not being done very much in the world today, but it will be done when Christ returns to this earth to set up his kingdom here. The emphasis will be on the family. And aside from Jesus Christ, I know he's the foundation, he's the chief cornerstone, but aside from that, the family is the heart and core of any sound, profitable society. Without the family, a society can't hold together. And that's why we see our society falling apart today. The family has fallen apart. And that's at the heart and core of the problems that we have nationally. Verse 12, you're going on, and you suffer him no more to do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. So men sometimes make up their own rules and ignore God's rules. But there are priorities, and family is extremely important. I recognized that early on after becoming a Christian. Not because I did it all right. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not bragging about that. I know how to do it. I know so much about it because I did it all wrong. And I lost my family. It was too late for me by the time I was converted. But I did a lot of research and studied God's Word, and I know how important the family is. And if it's done right, you can have healthy, happy, I want to say wealthy families. You may not be extremely wealthy, but you will have what you need, put it that way. Point number five. Sometimes a gift, it could be either good or bad. You know, you can't say it's always good or it's always bad. Sometimes it could go either way, depending on, first of all, why it was given and who it was given to. Proverbs 18, verse 16, it says, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. Okay, I have to go back to Donald Trump here. Because that's exactly what he admitted that he was doing, you know. He said, I give to both parties. And when the other Republicans criticized him for, you know, buying favor, he said, yeah, I'll donate to you too. He gave to both parties, to the politicians, so he's buying favor. It will get you access. You can buy access by giving gifts. But why do you want the access? I know why Donald Trump wanted the access. He wanted to enrich himself. Now, what if there was another situation? What if you had a program going that you wanted to promote and you couldn't do it because of someone over you, the government or whatever? There was an obstacle there. And you had to gain their favor, you had to gain their permission in order to do a good work. Then you could say, I could give him a gift, and at least I can get in, I can get past the secretary, I can get in to talk to him, and maybe end up convincing him that we can go ahead and do this good thing. So that could go either way. Buying access could be a terrible thing, which that's the way it's usually used. But it can also be a good thing if you're doing it for a right purpose in order to promote a good cause. Now, Proverbs 21, verse 14. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. In other words, a reward in the bosom could also pacify strong wrath. Well, again, normally, that would be a good thing. You know, if someone has something against you, or they think they have something against you, and you don't think it's justified, and you don't know exactly how to settle the situation, it could be a good thing if you give them a little token gift and say, you know, we can be friends, or maybe I can have you over to my house and we can sit down and have a good meal together, or something like that. In a way, it would be a gift, and it would be used to settle some kind of resistance between two people. Point number six. I'm going to have to hurry here. How much should we give? When we give a gift, how much should we give? We've already considered the poor widow. She gave all she had, and God recognized that. And you know, we're talking about her story here 2,000 years later. Millions of people know about her story. And she gave it all. So there are situations where you can't give too much. Let's go to Luke 12. Luke 12. We'll read verses 33 and 34. Luke 12. It says, sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, it doesn't exactly deal with how much to give here in this little passage, but it says sell that which you have and give alms, give gifts. I don't think that it means to necessarily sell everything you have and go live under an underpass somewhere. You know, you wouldn't be in a position to do much good or much help for other people if you were in that situation. But I think all of us are guilty, myself included, that we have things that, that's I don't need it right now, but it's still good, working order. I might need it someday. I've got it stashed back. I got a few of those things. I've been saying for years I'm going to do a flea market and haven't done it. But I think we do that, and God says, you know, if you're not putting it to good use, you don't read it, you don't need it right now, have a little faith and go out there and either give it to somebody that can use it or sell it to somebody that can use it and give alms, you know, give the proceeds to promote God's work, to help out some poor, desolate person. I was reading some of those videos from Publishers Clearing. I was watching the videos, reading the article. Anyway, one of them, it really kind of made my day in a way. Some lady won $1 million from Publishers Clearinghouse, and they pulled up to give her reward. She was, I guess, a single mother, it appeared to be anyway. She had two small children. The power company was outside to disconnect her electricity at the time. You know, she really needed the money, and it just does you good to think about. Well, it went to somebody who really needed it. It really helped them out. But let's see. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Dealing with how much we should give. Now, there's one area, talking about giving alms or gifts to God, it tells us basically how much we should give. Verse 7, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly. That little phrase is extremely important. Not grudgingly. Don't give and then go home and say, oh, if I'd have kept that, you know, I could have bought me a TV for the bedroom or what have you. And you begin to think, you know, maybe I shouldn't have given that. Don't do that. Give, you know, don't do it grudgingly or because you feel like you have to. Somebody's putting pressure on you to give. Don't do it that way. For God loves a cheerful giver. So that tells us a whole lot about how much we should give. Give all that we can give and give it cheerfully. Now, when I like the things I mentioned that we got stashed away, it's still in good shape, but we're not using it right now, don't need it right now. I think that we could give those things and give them cheerfully. It's not really not going to hurt us, and it may help someone. Those are the kind of things that, you know, that God appreciates. When we have a mindset, God is looking for our mental and spiritual growth. He's more interested in how we look at things, how we approach gifts, and how we approach caring for and helping other people than he is how much money. You know, I sometimes try to consider whether you're dealing with a penny or whether you're dealing with $10 billion, how much difference does that make to God? When you really think about it, how much difference does that make? What's $10 billion to God? Like nothing. Nothing. Let's go, number seven, let me wind it up here. Luke 14, and we'll start reading in verse 11. Number seven, by the way, is who should receive your alms? When you've got something to give, who should you give it to? We already know that we shouldn't give it to someone who already has everything and you just want to get a name for yourself or gain access or promote your own self. We already know that, but Luke 14, verse 11, Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Boy, my voice going again. Then said he also to him that bade him, when you make a dinner or a supper, call not your friends, nor your brethren, neither your kinsmen, nor your rich neighbors, lest they also bid you again, and a recompense be made you. They'll pay you back. You invite someone to dinner and you fix them a fancy dinner, they almost feel obligated. Well, I've got to invite them sometime and pay you back. Okay, you've given a dinner and you've received a dinner. How much better off are either one of you? You're back, kind of back where you started from, aren't you? God says, don't do it. Don't do it. Lest they also bid you again, and a recompense be made. But when you make a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you shall be blessed, for they cannot recompense you. They can't pay you back, for you shall be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. You know, I have to confess that I guess I get an F in that area. Something we need to think about, though. Grade yourself. Did you get it all right? I mean, you get an A+. Is that the ones that you have invited? Is that the kind of feast that you have attended? Or has it been all people more or less on your own level, you know, where we'll celebrate together, just let the good times roll?